Hi, this is Laura Padgett with KUHSDenver.com. Artist Nook. That show airs the first and third Friday of every month at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. The purpose of the Artist Nook is to introduce you to people who are doing art, teaching art, and inspiring other people to find their art. Because art is not a spectator sport. Tune in. 2 p.m. Mountain Time. First and third, Friday, KUHSDenver.com. And while you're at it, check out my book, Dolores Like the River, found on my website at Laura L. Padgett, PADGETT.com. Find out how to buy that. Till then, bye-bye. Good afternoon, and welcome to KUHSDenver.com Artist Nook. My name is Laura Padgett, and I'm your hostess for the next, 30 minutes, maybe 35. We'll see how it goes here today. I have a great guest I want to introduce you to, and I also want to tell you that that music that precedes my ad, or is on my ad, is by our good buddy Stephen Ray Watts from Dotsero. You're going to hear a little more music from him at the end of the show. But my guest today is who I want to get to. And I'm very pleased to have in studio with me a friend, a fellow writer, most important of all, a sister in the Lord, Miss Victoria Kimball. And I get to call her Tori, but that's, I don't know if you can do that. You'll have to see after you get to know her. But she has written a series of books that could not be more timely and could not be more instructional in some way, but inspirational mostly. So let's get right to talking to my buddy, Tori Kimball. Hi, Tori.
Hi, Laura.
Oh, boy. It's great to have you here. We've been talking about this, I think, since the spring, right?
Yes, sometime. Maybe early summer. Yeah.
Right? Yep. And we're in a writer's group together, Roylene Doyle's Writers on the Rock, Highlands Ranch Creatives. And so we want to give a big shout out there. And we have just... You know, as soon as I heard this young woman speak and I looked at this book, I said, whoa, I would love this on my radio show. The point of the Artist Nook is to bring positive art to people, to teach, to inspire, and to create, and to teach you how to do that too. And Tori has done all of those things. And right now I'm going to introduce you to this lady and say, Tori, could you tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. I was born and raised here in Colorado.
Okay.
Except for like a 6-year, I want to say exile, but that's not what it was. I went to college in Nebraska for a few years, and I met my husband there. So we lived out there for a couple years after we got married and then moved back here.
Okay.
So born and raised. I live in Littleton. I have 3 little girls, a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4.5-year-old.
Wow.
And so I've been mostly a stay-at-home mom for the past, 9.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the stay-at-home mom thing. I'm the nursery director at my church. I do some admin work for my dad. I write books. I crochet beard hats. So I just kind of do a whole lot of little things.
Wow. What's a beard hat? I just have to ask.
It's kind of like a ski mask. If you look them up on Etsy, you can find them. It's got a crocheted beard attached to the hat.
Oh,
and so
wow.
It looks funny. It makes it look like whoever's wearing it has a big bushy beard.
And it keeps your face warm.
It does.
That's
yes, it does.
Wonderful.
Yep.
That's great. And the fact that you have 3 young girls at home, we are talking about a series of books that Tori wrote called The Choir Girls. And there are 4 books in this series, right?
That's correct.
And I've read the first one because I couldn't get my hands on the other 3 until today, but I plan to read the other 3 as well. And I'm just highly endorsing this book for anyone who has kids, grandkids, or anyone who still feels like they're a kid, like me. And I love kids' books, so I just enjoyed it. I devoured it. Were your 3 daughters... as you have begun to watch them grow up, how much influence did that have on writing this series?
Well, that's definitely a key influence. Although, honestly, if I had boys, I probably still would have written these kind of stories, just because these kind of stories were instrumental in my life when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And so it's just one that I've always been drawn to. But definitely for my girls, just as a parent, I've noticed that kids don't always listen to what their parents say, even when their parents are telling them, you know, the truth and the correct thing. You know, they'll listen to somebody else, but maybe not their parents. And so I wanted to use these stories as just another voice of reason and influence, you know, to help communicate truths to them. So it's not coming, you know, directly from mom's mouth, but, you know, kids pick that up in the stories. And so, I mean, my girls, yes, definitely. I'd love to teach them, you know, as much as I can, but if they're not going to listen to me, maybe they'll listen to stories. So,
and you said growing up, these were the kind of books you read. Can you give me an idea of who you liked to read when you were a young person?
Oh, yes, yes. My all-time favorite is Robin Jones Gunn. She wrote a series called the Christy Miller series.
Right.
And I still read those books. And she has continued writing, and she has continued that series. One of her books just came out in the Christy Miller series. So Christy, in, you know, those younger books, was a teenager and, you know, falling in love with this boy named Todd. Mm. Well, then Robin took it into her college years, and then she had them get married. And the series she just finished up with was The Baby Years. And so I've like grown up with Christy, and she's been along with me, and she's a key influence in my writing.
Well, and your writing is, in my opinion, I think you write well. And we don't always have good writing out there. We have a lot of people writing a lot of stories, but writing well is hard. And I really appreciate the grammatical structure. I appreciate the disciplines that you have put in to your work. And so, folks, that's just another endorsement. And don't worry, we're going to definitely tell you how to get these books, because I think this is something you may want to consider for Christmas coming up. You know, kids get a lot of toys. They play with them, they break them, they forget them. But boy, the lessons we're talking about here are something the kids can take with them for many years and into their adulthood life, and hopefully share with their own kiddos. What age groups are you writing for right now in this series?
This series is for the 9 to 12-year-old, the tween set. So probably fourth grade. The characters in my books are in seventh grade. So generally, fourth graders up through seventh graders tend to like to read stories about that age group.
Sure. So. And my promo for this on social media said, and I just sat down and asked God, give me the words to put this out there, because I really wanted to do a good job. And we live in a world that is mean. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sorry.
Right.
And anybody who wants to take me on about that, you just call Uncle Henry Archuleta and make sure you give him all your complaints. But the fact is, our world is mean, and it has no some people have no guilt about hurting others, whether it's verbally, physically, competitively. And I've been a competitor in many areas, in sports and dance and music and academics. But there is a healthy competition way, and there is a way where you win at all costs. And your books deal with that. This book did. Anyway, mm-hmm. The one I read, I can speak to that. So how did you decide what topics were going to be in here? We can speak of each topic if you wish, although there are many. And I was really impressed with how you wove those together. How did you come up with developing the characters, and how did you decide which issues you were going to put out there? Two questions.
Well, the main character in the first book is called Soprano Trouble.
Right.
And the main character's name is Summer. And she's a lot like me. I mean, her family is a lot like mine. She's the middle of three girls. I was the middle of three girls. Obviously, Summer has grown up going to church. So did I. Church was a big part of Summer's life. It was a big part of mine. And then choir is a big part of her life and a big part of mine. So that's kind of where that whole basis came. I just remember being in school and just loving that part of my life. And then I just, loyalty is also a big part of me. And so that's kind of the whole basis for this. Summer has her group of friends, and she is loyal to them, and she loves them. And a couple of them are starting to make poor choices. Mm-hmm. And so the main struggle Summer has is she knows She knows what's going on and how her friends are behaving is not correct, but they're her friends and she needs to stick by them, you know, kind of for better or for worse kind of thing. And that's where her real struggle comes in. You know, can I participate? They're my friends. I need to stand up for them and support them, but what they're doing is wrong. So I don't know what to do. So I don't know how I picked them except the Lord. I mean, that's the only thing I can say. It's just, this is the story that came to me. And I just wanted to see how Summer would handle that and how I would tell someone in her shoes to handle it as well.
Have you had to do some of this with your own older 9-year-old?
Not yet. She just turned 9. She's in fourth grade. So thankfully she hasn't gotten into the mean girl world yet. And also, honestly, my oldest is kind of a tomboy. She hangs around with the boys, which has kept her out of a lot of the drama that girls can bring about. But you know, I'm ready. I mean, I was a girl. I grew up and I have 3 girls. So I know that it's a very real possibility of something they'll face.
Absolutely. So the issues that we dealt with, if it's okay if I just talk about some of these, I just loved it. You dealt with issues of racism in the one character who was actually the better singer. There was a singing competition, and we're not going to give everything away, but I want to give you a wee tease here if we can, that she was Latina and from Mexico. Am I right?
Well, no, her family isn't directly from Mexico. But
she has the roots from Mexico.
Yes, yeah.
So when she is proving to be the better singer, or for at least this one time in this competition, one of the gals who is jealous resorts to racist jokes, racist remarks about her background, her past, her parents. And you begin to see Summer now, the protagonist, the heroine in this story, just squirming.
Yes.
And like you said, she has this loyalty thing. But loyalty left unchecked, and I remember these years too, and you do too, where there were things that went on and you go, whoa, that doesn't end when you are an adult.
Right.
And if you don't learn how to stand up for what you think is right, you become what is a very sad person, a people pleaser.
Right.
Right. Especially women.
Yes.
People pleaser. At all cost, I'm going to do whatever. I don't want to hurt that person's feelings, even though it's destroying me inside.
Right.
And Summer was in a real conflict with this. So we dealt with racism. We dealt with, as we've already talked, peer pressure. Because she was afraid if she turned, she was going to be the next victim.
Yes.
Very important point.
Mm-hmm.
Very important point. And that happens.
Yes.
It happened to me.
Right.
Even me back in junior high, you know, when we used to have monks and quills and those sorts of things. No, but I mean, really, in the early 60s when I was going to school, I remember, oh, well, if you like so-and-so, you don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the check on the loyalty thing.
Right.
I know you moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas out there. And maybe some kids who are listening to this, certainly some friends that I've danced with, I've seen this. Just hurtful stuff. And so that. Bullying. Whoa.
Yeah.
This is a bullying situation.
It is. Very much. Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I find it interesting in here the way the girls try to justify it. Because I feel like, I mean, nobody's going to come right out and I think even bullies don't even think to themselves that they're bullying somebody.
No.
But they are.
Right.
And so that's where this comes in.
And if we don't stop it, we are, unfortunately, and that's what I taught my son. And my son now is 34 years old. Hi, Gabe, if you're listening. He often writes music for the show. He's a brilliant musician. But one of the things he told me about being in high school was the bullying. It wasn't against him. He was, even though his mama's 5'0", he is a big guy. He's been a big guy his whole life. He's tall, he's strong, he's athletic, always played a lot of sports. But he was saddened by what he saw because what do you do? What do you do? And he often took kids under his wing who didn't have other friends. And I heard about this with stories at his wedding. His best man stood up and said this story, and I didn't know it. But I remember those times when we would talk about it, and the boys too. Mm-hmm. And of course, boys can be more physical in their bullying, although girls, I understand, are getting there too. And so the sadness that comes with that when you realize a friend is bullied.
Right.
Ouch.
Right.
Fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Big piece.
Right. Yeah, that's huge. I think especially in junior high, that's one of the main things that drives a lot of them. They just have this paralyzing fear of being rejected, of being the one who's sitting by themselves somewhere. And so they're often willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that that's not them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. I mean, that can lead to poor choices.
Of course. And then after a while, you're categorized as one of the
right
people making poor choices. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? Another one that I thought was just great. Two of them that go hand in hand in the world of Christianity, forgiveness and grace.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely, it's so hard for especially the tween girls to figure out, you know, when is that appropriate, you know, and what does that mean? If I forgive them, what does that mean? Does that mean that it was okay? Well, no, but I mean, that's just the lesson that they're learning. And that's just something that they have to figure out. So.
Right. And we forgive for ourselves.
Right.
Because sometimes we can go to someone and we can ask forgiveness and they can say no, which has happened to me. And or we can ask, someone can ask us forgiveness and we can forgive, but and it's hard for me to teach people this. It was hard for me to teach my other people in my life. Forgiveness is reconciliation between us and God,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully between us and that other person.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that forgiveness is reunion.
Right.
So reconciliation and reunion are two different things, and you covered this very well because, I can't give the book away. Yeah. I just love the book.
And you don't even know this, but the third book, Harmony Blues, has the main overarching theme in there is forgiveness. Now, each of the books follows there's the book one, Soprano Trouble, starts out with four friends.
Great.
Summer, Maddie, Brittany, and Cammy. Each of these books follows one of them. So the first one's about Summer, the second one's Maddie, the third one is about Brittany, and she is faced with just the her main thing is whether or not she needs to forgive. In fact, the tagline on book three is Brittany isn't sure she'll ever be able to forgive her best friend.
Right.
So, I mean, but in there. Yeah, she learns a lot about the forgiveness.
For her to be able to forgive?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Right.
Boy, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard as adults, let alone as kids. So the three books we're talking about, or the four books, I beg your pardon, that we're talking about right now are Soprano Trouble.
Soprano Trouble. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of about competitiveness and meanness and bullying.
Right. And
right.
Friendship and making choices in your friendships.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Second book is called?
It's called Alto Secrets.
Okay.
And this one's a little bit more about identity. It follows Maddie, who's always been good at volleyball. And then, but she's always kind of wanted to paint too. But she's afraid to tell her parents that. Because she comes from a sports family. She has two brothers. And so she ends up joining this art club secretly and having to lie to her parents because she's afraid. What will they say if they know that mm-hmm. she wants to paint?
Wow.
And so, of course, lying is never the answer. And she finds herself in over her head. But that's what happens. So that one's kind of about identity and mm-hmm. who she was made to be.
Okay.
The third one is Harmony Blues. And that's about Brittany. And this one, she has a real reckoning. Her best friend is Cammy, who throughout the books has been the absolute antagonist. She's been the bully. She's been
difficult.
she's been the mean girl.
You mean girl.
It was Brittany's. I mean, she and Brittany were like, you know, the absolute best friends. And then, but in Harmony Blues, Cammy starts to turn on Brittany, and Brittany finds herself, you know, basically at a loss. Like, her friend is turned on her now. What is she supposed to do?
That's right.
And so that brings up forgiveness. And you'll see a lot about in that one, Brittany's relationship with her parents also is kind of difficult. And her parents they seem to neglect her a bit. And so she has to deal with that too. So forgiveness comes into that one.
Wow.
And then book four is called Solo Disaster. And this one's about Cammy.
Okay.
I know.
She's a soloist, by the way.
She has been the instigator of the drama, really. And this one, she's still a bit defiant and still sure that everything she does is correct and right, and she doesn't understand why people are not just following her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she tries and tries, and I won't give that one away, but that one's about her and finding out, you know, basically the consequences of what happens when you are mean to everyone around you. And
right.
What do people do? Well, generally, it's not a good thing.
No, so. And they either push back or they push away.
Right,
and
exactly.
Being pushed back is, it's kind of hard. It can hurt. So I want to go to our board here, and I want to thank our international guests. Again, you are listening to KUHSDenver.com. I am Laura Padgett. This is the Artist Nook. We meet here normally the first and third Friday from 2 o'clock to 2:30, 2:35, 2:34. We don't know. But anyway, I'm with my very special guest, Tori Kimball, and she's talking about her series of books for tweens. And so we want to welcome in some of our friends from and I guess I have to take off my glasses. I'm sorry, folks. We've got Mexico. We've got, I see Honduras up there. I see that we have some people from Victoria. Is that right, Uncle Henry? Where am I, Uncle Henry? I know Uncle Henry has to come in and kind of be my seeing eye person because I tell you, they make everything smaller these days. Anyway, we have a lot from the United States. We have Spain. Spain is always on... off and on the KUHS broadcasts. And, of course, we originate in Denver, but, as you know, we're touching lives all over the world with the arts. And we are also looking at some more folks from the United States. Hey, there's Fremont, California. That may even be some of my family. I don't know. I got family out there. But, again, we're just kind of really grateful for our international audience. And there's Romania. And I want to tell you that when we give you some information on how to get Tori's books, they are available online.
Yes.
So if you're in one of these countries and you want a book, you can just order it online. And she's going to tell you how to do that in a minute. Again, we're going back to this wonderful series she has written with Life Lessons. Now, Tori, what I was struck by was that you actually have a lot of, well, I guess I would say they're Christian values, but they're not necessarily just Christian values. These are values that I grew up in a home that did not have anything to do with church or the Lord or any kind of religious, but these were values I was taught. You know, you don't push each other around, you don't bully, you don't badmouth, you don't gossip, you don't do all these things. And my family was, it wasn't exactly Wally and the Beef, but, we had a real tough deal going on there with some dysfunction. But my parents were not Christians, and they taught me some of these values in terms of how to get along with people. Consequently, I didn't have a lot of trouble, but you always have, you know, somebody who doesn't like you, whether you're a kid or an adult. So how do you structure, because I know your faith is very important to you, and it's a big piece of who you are, too. How do you structure books or messages of any sort, really, without being preachy, which you're not preachy in this book, and I so appreciated that, too.
Well, that's good to hear, because it can be a hard thing. I think one of the biggest myths about Christians or the Christian faith or something like that is that all of it is... if you're talking about Christian values, those are just church values. And it's not. I mean, the Bible is a very practical book. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all about how to live your life outside the church walls. And so all of those things are beneficial to every single person you interact with, not just the people inside the church. And so I'm not quite sure how I did it. I didn't set out. I mean, I definitely wanted to make sure that I wasn't preaching at them. But... These are the whole kindness thing. That's a huge theme. Well, if you look on Twitter or anything like that, everyone's always fussing at each other. Be kind. And, you know, what does that mean? Well, that's a biblical concept. And so we can do that and we can put those values into our book without making it sound like you're sitting in church. Because honestly, these values are practical in every aspect of our lives.
That's right. And what kind of reactions are you having to this now as you, how long, let's see, I believe the first one came out, Soprano Trouble came out the spring, didn't it?
It came out in February.
Okay.
The first one came out in February, and that last one just came out on October 13th.
Wow.
So they've all come out this year. So far, the reaction has been great. I don't have any negative reviews yet.
Yay.
Although, you know, I don't know. I'm waiting. But so far, I've heard good things about it. And again, I do get the feedback that you just gave me, that they're not preachy. And again, that's just, oh, good. That's just a relief to me that, good, it worked. You know, the story came out that way, especially as people read through it, and then they found out that fourth book was about Cammy, I got a lot of, oh no, please. And I think one person literally said to me, don't you dare make me like her.
Because I was busy not liking her.
But I felt like that. You really needed to know what was going on with her.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wrote that last story.
And that's it, too. And that's a great lesson. I'm glad you said that, because oftentimes if we're being involved in a conflict, from even as adults, there's often somebody who's being mean or when I'm mean, I mean, I'm just not going to sit here and say I'm perfect.
Mm-hmm.
My big thing is po-buddy's nerfed. But I believe that if I start getting myself into that sort of squirreling around thing, or either I'm being mean to somebody or unkind or whatever, I often look at what's going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can sometimes, we can't always know what's going on with other people.
Right.
But we can know something's going on.
Right.
And we can know that that's a great way not to take it personally.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, that definitely helps with the forgiveness too. When you kind of take a step back and consider all of it, what's going on, not only with you in this situation, but with them and background, it really helps you get to that place of forgiveness.
Oh, so. That's work,
right?
It's good work, but it's hard work.
Yeah.
Do you speak at places too? Are you being called to speak yet at other places like MOPS or some of these other groups?
No, but I'm definitely willing.
Okay.
I'm fairly new to this whole writing books thing. I'd love to talk to people about the stories. I'd love to talk to kids about writing just because I enjoy it so much. I'd love to talk to moms about following their dreams, because obviously writing was a big dream of mine and a really scary one to pursue, because it's just fraught with, it's fraught with rejection and
yes,
all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, and also as, I like to say that I'm coming out of the shadow of Mount Little Kid, because my youngest is 4 and a half. She'll be in kindergarten next year. So I've spent the last 9 years basically, you know, at home with them. And there's life on the other side of that phase of life.
There is.
And so I would love to talk to moms about dreaming and planning, even while you're at home in the monotony of the daily life with your kids, which is, you know, wake up, watch a show, eat a snack, have lunch, have another nap, you know, all that kind of stuff like that. You can be dreaming and planning of what you want that next phase of life to be. You're not stuck, and that's not going to be your life forever. And so I haven't gotten into that, but I could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that'll be great. And I mean, you're an excellent speaker. You know your material. You're very friendly and open and positive. And I think that the world needs that right now. Who do we need that right now? Okay, enough of that. Henry's given me the cut your throat sign, which means don't go into anything that may embarrass the station.
Okay.
So I'm just kidding. I just see how I love to give him a hard time.
Yeah.
How red he's turning in there. I think it's warm in here today, Uncle Henry. Anyway, we've talked about the idea of doing this. And so from a standpoint of being a writer, and some of the stuff that's hard, but how does a busy mom with three kids
right,
make time to write? I think that's a really wow, that I admire that.
Well, it really helps that I am a person who loves structure and routine. Yes, I was the mom who scheduled nap times and bedtimes and all that. That's who I am, and I like it, and it really helps me here. So this is how it's been for the past year and a half or so. Like I get up at 5 o'clock every morning. I get myself ready. I eat breakfast. Now in the summertime and school time, it's a little bit different, but I get up at 5 o'clock so that I can have writing time.
Wow.
In the summer, I write from 6 to 7 in the morning, because my girls generally get up around 7 o'clock.
Okay.
In the school year, getting up at 5 just allows me to get everything ready so that once the older girls have gone to school, I put my 4-year-old in what's called room time. I never took away that morning nap. You know, little kids, like babies, have like 2 naps, a morning and an afternoon nap. Mm-hmm. Once my girls stopped that morning nap, I just called it room time, and I still put them in their room and just let them play. So now my girls go to school, I put my youngest in room time, and then I write from 8 to 9.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's where I get that done. And then throughout the rest of the day, there's other writing tasks you have to do, which is like, you know, the social media and the marketing and all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of fit that in. But like the hardcore, you know, the really hard creative part is done in the morning after, you know, when my girls are
occupied.
And
that's every day.
Well, Monday through Friday.
Weekends are kind of madhouse, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we get that.
Yep.
I wanted to ask you about the creative process. We are kind of coming up on the end of our half hour, but we can go over a little bit, and I often do because there's so many things to ask. But on that creative process, what are some of the things that inspire you?
I read a lot of books for this age group. I just do. And so those inspire me. I mean, reading other things and then just being around kids, you know, just watching them and watching them interact. I just get story ideas that way. They come out. I'm not sure where the inspiration comes from, but it's just they pop into my head and I write them down. So
I love it. I love it. And I'm very grateful for that information because sometimes things don't pop into my head. Right. And so I'm very excited about the fact that you're doing this stuff. Tell us how we're going to get these books, please.
Well, definitely. You can find everything you ever wanted to know about me on my website. It's www.victoriakimble.com. That's K-I-M-B-L-E. From there, you can find my books. You can got links to Amazon. You can find out how to contact me, how to connect with me on Facebook and on Twitter, because I'm there and I'd love to hear from people because I'd love to talk to them about writing or the stories or anything like that.
Okay.
But my books are on Amazon and they're on barnesandnoble.com. Those are the main places that you can find them. And so if you search The Choir Girls or Soprano Trouble or Victoria Kimble, it'll pop up. It's there for you.
Okay. And you've told us about the rest of the series. I think it's very inspiring. And I want to say that thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
This is really fun. And I am really blessed to know a lot of writers, dancers, musicians. And I try to get interesting guests on. And this was definitely no exception.
Okay.
We had a wonderful time. And I think people are going to be very excited when they read these books. I'm going to read them, too, before I give them away. I'm going to read them, too, because I love this kind of thing, and it's inspiring to me to meet these young people who have dreams and they're following them. I'm Laura Padgett. This is The Artist Nook, KUHSDenver.com. Now, as I said earlier, we usually meet here the first and third Friday, but I have a special guest next Friday on the 10th, Mr. Albert Quintana. Albert was my predecessor. He started this show years ago. He gave me my start in radio. And when he told me he finished his third book called The Crochet Lady, which is a very interesting book, I'm reading it now, I said, let's get him on the show somehow. So Henry was nice enough to say, okay, I'll give you an extra Friday. Mostly, Henry says I can be here whenever I want, but you see, I'm lazy, so I only do one or two shows a month. However, tune in next week, folks. Hear about Albert's book, The Crochet Lady. Those of you that read No More Green Chili and A Teacher Grows Up in Adams County, I think you're going to like this. It's typical Albert, just storytelling about his roots and storytelling about family. That's important to him. If you want to catch up with me, you can find me at lauralpadgett.com. That's LauralPadgett.com. Find out where I am doing book signings this fall. One will be up in Golden on the 2nd of December with Golden Christmas celebrations. And I will be dressed as an elf because, as you know, folks, I am Captain of the Elves. The elves will be here in December, so make sure you get that information down. In the meantime, You can always connect with me on the connect page or contact page on my website. And I always leave the guests work up for at least 2 or 3 weeks. So if you want to know more about Tori, there she is. I want to send you off. Again, I want to thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
It's been fun. She's delightful. And her work's wonderful. I want to send you off with a little post-Halloween song from our buddy, Stephen Ray Watts. That's Earl. If you get a chance to get down and see him, do that. And if you get a chance to check out his music, you can always go to dotseroband.com and see where he's playing. And right now, I want to wish you a happy weekend. I hope you all had a safe Halloween. And I'm going to play this little song from his retro album, Retro 2017. It's called Green Goblin. Love y'all. Thanks, Tori. See ya.